Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges. With your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
Now, what do you do when two of your children have developed long-term entrenched resentments towards each other, and they don't want you to take action? Well, we'll talk about this and more on this week's podcast, Contempt is Not a Family Value. It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and I'm your host, Neil D. Brown. And I'm here to help you get that enjoyable family you work for every day. And if you have a question you'd like me to address on this podcast, don't be shy. We're all going to benefit from your question. So come on over to my website, neildbrown.com. Click on either For Families or For Treatment Programs. Then click on any podcast and scroll down to the end where it says Submit Your Question and enter it there. And why not do it today? And while you're there, download a free copy of my Parental Burnout Recovery Guide. Please remember that this podcast is for educational purposes only. It is not a substitute for therapy when you need it. Well, today we're hearing from Jennifer, and Jennifer writes, "Hi, Neil. I'm a long-time listener of your podcast and a huge fan." Well, thanks, Jennifer. I really appreciate that. She continues, "I have a question for you. I am a single mother of four. The eldest is 20 and the youngest is 14. Now, the eldest has suffered from anxiety through most of her teenage years, but especially after she had the traumatic experience of a brain tumor at age 11. The tumor was benign, surgery was successful, and she has had no trace of disease ever since. But those few months had a real impact on her, and she has had anxiety about illness ever since. In any case, either because of that or for some reason having to do with our family constellation, she has been quite mean to the youngest in the family, age 14, also female. I have tried over and over to intervene when she has been hard on the youngest, but the youngest always pleads for me not to do or say anything as it makes it worse. Now the youngest can't stand the oldest, dreads when she comes home from college, and has created a narrative wherein her older sister is the source of all her problems and they will never get along. Now part of me thinks I should step back and let them resolve their differences the way I did with my own siblings as we grew up and matured. But it bothers me that the two of them seemed locked in to this battle of mutual distrust and even contempt. Even if you don't have time to answer, it was therapeutic to write that out. Thank you, Neil." Well, thanks for your question, Jennifer. And yeah, just writing out what's bothering us can be a great thing. And then we can get better perspective on it, get it off our chest. And it's called journaling. It's a very good thing to do, and we should all take a page out of your playbook there, Jennifer. So, but I can see where it's hard to know where to go with the situation. And yet, I do think it calls for you to play a role and provide parental leadership here. Obviously, you have been very concerned and yet feel disempowered. So I'm glad you've written. Let's see if I can give you some good, empowering advice. Here are some things that stand out to me as clues to what's going on and where to go from here. 9 years, of course, after your eldest's surgery. Now, your older daughter never resolved the trauma of her brain tumor and her surgery. So you got to wonder why. Different kids respond differently to such things, some with gratitude and understanding better the value of life, some, as with your daughter, with some anxiety and fear. It has to do with their essential temperament, such as emotional sensitivity, emotional intensity, how they're supported through and after their ordeal. Regardless of her temperament, your daughter should have been able, or we certainly would have liked for her, to come to terms with her medical situation learn and grow from it and move forward in a healthy way. Her being anxious about her medical condition should not have been a reason to treat her younger sister badly. Whatever we feel, there's a healthy way to deal with it and a host of destructive ways to deal with it. Your younger daughter told you not to talk with her sister, her tormentor, because she feared that it would only make things worse. And that tells us that, you know, she doesn't trust that you can effectively change her sister's behavior, and that she'd be in trouble with her sister for asking for help, and she'd be tormented even more for that. So I'm not sure when the mean behavior towards your younger daughter started, but even when you knew and after trying, unfortunately, unsuccessfully to deal with it, you accepted your daughter's statement not to deal with it further. Jennifer, parents, listen, understand, we empathize, we validate our children's feelings, but we don't take orders from our children. Parents do what they know is right. And if your older daughter is hurting a younger daughter, that's a time for parental intervention, and it needs to stop. It could be a lot more complicated than poor child being hurt by mean older sister. I mean, the younger sister could have been aggressive and provocative to an anxious and sensitive older sister. I don't know. Now, your youngest blames her older sister as the cause of all her problems. Now, what problems is she having? Is her self-esteem compromised? Does she have unresolved trauma? Is she feeling essentially unsafe and distrustful in the world? Also, I'm curious if your older daughter at age 20, which is a little more mature than when she had her surgery at 11 and even in her middle adolescent years, if at this age she takes any responsibility for her behavior towards her younger sister, if she has any remorse, and if she's apologized or tried to apologize or is inclined to apologize. I'm not getting that feeling. It sounds like they are simply holding out in their respective camps or their narratives, you know, the stories that they tell themselves that, you know, my sister is a so-and-so, and then use that as a justification for their own negative behavior. Jennifer, the other important fact here is that you are a single mother of four. That's huge. And if you've been working and supporting your family, then being there to monitor all their behaviors and relationships in addition to working and all the gazillion things it means to keep a home and spend time with your kids, that's going to be pretty challenging. And I'm sure having an 11-year-old with a brain tumor was no picnic at that point. So where to go with all of this at this point? Well, if your 14-year-old is having problems, then she requires parental support, parental requirement that she deal with them. Now, you didn't mention if she's in therapy, but if she isn't and she has problems, regardless of who caused them, she needs support to resolve them, to outgrow them. It's not going to be right for her to live her life as, and I'm going to call her Jane just for the heck of it. Hi, I'm Jane, and I was abused by my older sister, and now I have lifelong problems of feelings of inadequacy and distrust. No, that's not okay. She needs to know that she is a whole person, and even if she has a history that includes hurtful things, not uncommon, she can and will heal, grow, and develop her wonderful, amazing self. So, without being in a position for me to be able to do an assessment and a treatment plan, here are some ideas that you can borrow going forward. I think, Jennifer, that you can make it clear to both girls that the vitriol between them is a problem that needs to be dealt with. It's not okay between them. It's not okay for each of them. It's not okay for the rest of the family. If amends are in order from daughter one to daughter two, then that needs to take place. Now, amends are an important thing for several reasons, and we could talk more about what quality amends are at another time, but they're important, and it gives the offender the opportunity to take responsibility for their past offenses. and not carry the shame or the guilt around. When we carry guilt, it can show up in many ways, from defensiveness to unworthiness, and it's just a really unhealthy, destructive thing in our psyches. And amends also gives the receiver of the offense the opportunity to be validated and empathized with. And even if they aren't receptive and forgiving, it helps and it takes some of the tension out of the relationship. It may be appropriate for daughter two to make amends to daughter one for her behavior towards her as well. Jennifer, you might want to make amends to both girls for not providing assertive enough parenting to help them both out. So the problem with my advice right now is just asking them to make amends when they're as entrenched as they are is going to get nothing but resistance. So step one would be for each of them to realize they have a role in the troubled relationship. Maybe that can be achieved talking with you, and maybe they'll need therapeutic support to get there. But here are some suggestions for getting therapeutic support for dealing with this, and you may want to talk with a therapist to decide the best strategy. I strongly suggest that you go to counseling with your younger daughter to help her with whatever she is experiencing as her problems. You can go to counseling with your older daughter, too, to help her have a more empathetic, a kinder understanding of her sister. She may still have issues of her own, and we don't want her going through life with the narrative, and I'm going to just call her Susie. Hi, I'm Susie, and I had a medical scare as a preteen, and I'm traumatized for life. No, she's a whole person and needs to reclaim her wholeness. Now, perhaps the three of you can see a really great therapist and work together to get through this. You can do the necessary healing, the amends making, and then create some reconnection in positive ways so that there's the building of a new, creating a new history. You have two other children between these two, and I'm not sure how they have been affected or affect or influence all of this. That's something you can explore with a therapist, and perhaps they can be included. So the important thing here, Jennifer, is that something is going on in your family that you are rightfully concerned about. Your two girls are acting in ways that violate your values and your standards for the family. That's why you're writing me. You get to deal with that and say, this isn't acceptable, and we're going to do something about it. And we're going to keep dealing with it until it's resolved. So, parents and folks working with parents, kids, and families, in today's world of parents getting conflicting inputs from so many sources, parents need and deserve support for their leadership. They need to feel empowered to establish values and standards in their families, and with love, positivity, and support, accountability to those standards. Hey, thanks for tuning in today, everyone, and special thanks to you, Jennifer, first of all, for being a fan, and secondly, for offering up a challenging and interesting situation in question. If you are a therapist who works in a behavioral health treatment program and would like to talk with me about improving outcomes in your program, come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and shoot me an email or give me a call. I'll be happy to talk with you. And please, would you remember to take care of yourselves? You know you need it. You know you deserve it. You know something else? You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parenteen Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.